Welcome back to the Mark Wade Podcast.
Hi, I'm Mark Wade.
I'm Daphna.
I'm Ian Brill.
And Mark's going to tell us about his KCRW experience.
That was a great experience. This is KCRW is the most revered radio station in all of California. It's one of the coolest, hippest stations in...
It's a public radio station out of Santa Monica.
It actually makes your drive bearable, if not something to look forward to.
Yeah, it's a great radio station. And they have a regular program once a week for their guest DJ spot, where they have, like, Tony Hawk or John Cusack or, like, real celebrities. And then they call me out of the blue. They knew I was going to be, you know, doing the Los Angeles Times Book Fair. So they somehow were under the misapprehension that I lived out of town, but can I come down for the broadcast? They're like, well, I live, like, right next to Santa Monica College.
Come whenever you want.
It was very nice. So it was, they asked me to come down for them. And the program is this. Well, first off, it plays into all my dreams because I wanted to be a disc jockey when I was a kid.
Did you want to have a disc jockey name? Like Dr. Johnny Fever.
No, I couldn't do that. Like the Wolfman. No, I just can't. No, nor did I want to do the weird, crazy honking sounds and bells and triangles and stuff. No, there was my short-lived radio career was in college, and I had the best career advice I ever had at that time, which is, did I talk about this on the podcast yet?
No, not. You talked about being a DJ, I think.
But did we talk about there was a guy. He still does. Like late afternoon drive time MOR station stuff somewhere in, I think, Virginia. His name was Dick Hemby. He worked in a different station now, but when I was a kid, he was the big thing. And I was listening to this MOR FM station. He was great. He was not a wacky DJ. Instead, he was wry and sharp and almost British with that sense of humor, except clearly American, but the very, very dry sense of humor. He was a riot, and I went to visit him once thinking, this is great, I'll get career advice about what I want to do with my radio career. And he sits down with me, and it was the most interesting experience, because at no time does he ever leave me feel discouraged or bitter or anything like that, and nor does he come off that way. But he sits down and he basically says, without saying it in these words, there's no future in radio. This is not the job you want, you know, this is not a growth career. But he says it in such a way where I've left sort of enervated rather than discouraged, rather than felt like I'd, you know, been lectured to by a bitter, cranky old man, like you were being lectured to today by me. So
there are no bitter and cranky people in comics.
No, there's no bitterness in comics. Never.
There's certainly nobody saying that the medium is dying and you should get out.
No. So anyway, KCRW. So they bring me down, and the idea is they want you to pick out five songs that have some significance for you that you can talk about to some length, the songs that you really enjoy.
Can I guess the kind of music that a Mark Wade enjoys?
I doubt you can, but you may try.
I'm gonna think of like kind of the singer songwriters who have kind of a clever wry streak to them.
Look, he's on the
an Elvis right. Costello,
yeah, see,
a Warren Zevon,
yeah.
Maybe a Joe Jackson.
Did you're on the right track. Mixtape in
that? That's
no,
true.
I did. Todd Rundgren.
Joe Jackson. Yes.
Todd did Rundgren, I? Exactly. Yes.
Yeah. Well, but also
name?
Jimmy Webb.
Okay.
Was,
yeah.
You know, and
Harry Nilsson.
Yep. These.
You put the lime in the coconut.
Well, I got to say, Joe Jackson's Is She Really Going Out With Him has the greatest opening line
is, yeah.
of any song in pop history,
that's
which
the
is...
The whole song is brilliant, but yeah.
Pretty Women Out Walking With Gorillas Down My Street. That's like, that's the greatest opening
well, those,
line.
Well, those first two albums, Look Sharp and the other album.
Yeah. and the other Joe Jackson album, yeah.
Are filled with great stuff.
So five songs. So they bring me down, and I really figured out two things on the fly. Well, I'm several things. One of them is that I didn't know that Starland Vocal Bang didn't have five songs, but no.
I bet there's a greatest hits that has, and you know what? Afternoon Delight is probably number seven.
I'm sure there's
six other
I'm
ones.
Sure they were big in Korea or whatever. I'm sure they had a big giant career.
Evening Delight.
Poland. I don't know exactly. Evening Delight. I can think of no less looked for sequel song than that. So,
and by the way, listeners, you just witnessed a young Daphna Plevin learning what the Starland Vocal Band is, or at least knowing that there is something called the Starland Vocal Band.
One, there's no defense of them whatsoever. They're aesthetically indefensible, but they won the Grammy for Best New Artist that year. Do you remember who they who lost to them?
No,
Elvis Costello.
Oh, there you go.
just...
Well, they are still a great new artist. So I think the Emmys are correct.
So they bring me down. And I don't want to... When the podcast goes up on KCRW, because they've got a podcast there, and it'll go up in the next few weeks, and we'll make a link and so forth. So I don't want to, like, give away all the secrets by talking about
everything. Wait a minute. Chip Mosher is very trigger-shy about the press releases. Are you sure we're going to put a thing?
I know. Us put up press releases on our site? I don't think that'll happen. So we'll plug it, and they're eager to have it up at KCRW. Like I said, we're going to time it, I think, closer to San Diego Con or something
sure,
like that.
Sure, sure.
Anyway, so, but without getting into specifics about what I picked, what was interesting to me is going through and pulling songs. Like you said, I went off on a bunch of different little tangents, but one of the ones I went on was the songwriters and really focusing on the stuff that meant something to me as a kid. And what I read, and as an adult, sort of shaped how I write. There's what I realized getting into it is that there's a real similarity between writing a 3-minute pop song and a 10-minute comic book story, like a 8-page, 12-page comic book story.
You're worried about structure, and you're worried about, because I've also played guitar for a while and have written songs, you're dealing with how structure and how that structure is going to make an emotional impact on a person, on what you're trying to communicate.
Yeah.
It's like what I talked about in another podcast, wrestling down that those big ideas you have into something that you can sing to someone or get through in a comic book to communicate to them in some way.
Well, in this case, it was specifically about, I went back and I looked at the stuff that was imprinted on my DNA when I was like 12 years old, back in the last days of AM radio, back when AM radio was playing everything in the world. It was completely not, you could have Led Zeppelin and then you would have, a novelty song and then you would have Tony Orlando and Dawn and it would just, it was all over the map stylistically. And one of the big staples of AM radio during that time was the story song.
Yeah.
Like the schmaltzy, goopy
Taxi.
Story Chapin. Song. Taxi's actually a little snappy, yes, but a little, that one's actually, I wouldn't call that sappy and goopy, although, story song. But like Honey by Bobby Goldsboro.
Okay.
Or Rocky by Austin.
Seasons in the Sun.
Seasons in the Sun. Oh my God. That's just, again, number one song, by the way. I don't know how. Yeah. I have no idea how, but, and again, or there's one. Oh my God.
I mean, American Pie is, I think, the biggest example of that.
I'm not sure that would count. It kind of counts as a story song because it does actually have a beginning and an end.
Yeah.
But it's not, but.
It's more about him saying the place of 1950, whatever it was.
That, by the way, that's a whole separate podcast because I can do 15 minutes on American Pie. I can do 15 minutes next time on American Pie and break it down.
That is the next podcast.
I can do it, break it down lyric for lyric. I'm a big student of this song. So, anyway, but the story songs, like the most horrifying of them on any sort of aesthetic level was one called The Blind Man of the Bleachers or The Last Game of the Season.
Uh-huh. And I like it when they have two titles.
I know. It was
like
the last game
a Rock
of the season,
and Bullwinkle episode.
The Blind Man of the Bleachers. And it was about, it was late in the game. It was like 1976. So that's a little late in the game for these sappy story songs. And it was about a high school football team that would have played every week. And every week there was the boy on the field and his father who sat up in the high in the bleachers and he was blind, but he always came to the games.
Yeah.
And it was the blind, and the boy was always benched, and he could never play in the game. He was never good enough and stuff. And then the big third stanza comes, and we're falling. And nobody knows why the blind man didn't come that day. He wasn't there for the big. It was a big game, the big final homecoming game. Yeah. And the blind man's not there. And then at halftime, the coach doesn't notice the boy over in the corner talking on the phone, getting message.
Yeah.
And the boy comes out and says, "Coach, you gotta let me play." And so they put him in the game, and they win the game, and the boy scores the final touchdown. And the coach says, "What did it? Why? What inspired you today? What made you so good?" And the boy says, "I, my father wasn't here today. I don't know if you noticed, he wasn't here today. I got word during the half thing that he passed away.
Mm-hmm.
It's the first time he ever saw me play."
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, I know. Now, first off,
he's in heaven.
First off,
as far as we know,
I knew Daphne would laugh because Daphne has a heart of marble.
It's as small as one too.
It's a heart of cast iron, but as small. My point being, again, aesthetically indefensible. It's just like you can't listen to that stuff and not break out laughing. But.
Wait, is it sung in like a Spike Jonze voice?
No, it's just like that sort of treacly sappy. But my point being that content aside, yes, the structure of it is what wormed its way into my into my aesthetics when I was a kid, and taught me a lot about writing comics. Which is, again, forget content. It's you got maybe 10 minutes to get somebody's attention with a comic, to hold somebody's attention with a comic. You got to get in, tell the story, set it up, explain who the players are, throw in a couple of twists, and then wrap it up.
Yeah.
And that's a very difficult skill, but that's, I was really trained very well by these schmaltzy songwriters of the 1970s. Timothy by the Boys. Another, do you know the song about the mine cave in and it's and they're all cannibals?
Oh, I think I have.
Yeah. They're all cannibals? Yeah.
They're all cannibals. It's great. It's
a song. I think I have heard of that.
It's
one.
A 1972 song about cannibalism, but you don't realize it because the lyrics are a little hard to listen to, but as you start to get in there and you're like, holy crap, they're talking about how they ate each other in the mine. It's Timothy, where
it's
on earth?
It's like a Grant Morrison comic.
I know. Yeah. The refrain is Timothy, where on earth did you go? Timothy, God, why don't I know? And then it becomes, God, I think I know.
Well, it's called The Boys. As far as you know, Garth Ennis might have some
That's true.
Time travel technology.
My.
Timothy by The Boys, B-U-O-Y-S. Go look at it here. Hello, iTunes. So, yeah, it's
Harper Valley PTA. Now, that was a story song they made a movie about.
Ode to Billy Joe, they made a song about that, too.
Oh, yeah, Ode to I remember studying Ode to Billy Joe in two English classes in college.
The Night the Light Went Out, The Night the Lights Went Out in Georgia. That's another one. So that should have made a movie about that. They may have made a movie about that.
What about
that
day Chicago died?
See, I love
that's
that
by
song.
A British band. Did you know that?
Yes.
That was weird when
so was Billy Don't Be a Hero. Billy Don't Be a Hero was originally by a British band, and I'm glad we have this recorded, that I have that, the original British version of my car downstairs if you want to listen to it. Oh my God, really? Wow, are we still recording?
We have two more minutes.
Anyway, to wrap up my point, because we got so far off topic, but what I was saying was that, so I went, when I picked out songs, I found a modern day storyteller, songwriter, a folk singer named Dar Williams. Do you know her work? She's amazing. She's the greatest lyricist I've heard in 20 years, and she... It's very chatty and it's very
Williams?
Clever. D-A-R Williams. I highly encourage anyone to. There's a specific song that I chose called "The Christians and the Pagans," and it's just a great little story song. And what's beautiful about it is it has that sort of boppy, charming. It seems kind of light and not goofy or light or silly, but just sort of like breezy. And then you get to the third verse and without punching you in the gut, there's that twist of, wow, suddenly the song is now, there's some meaning to the song I didn't see before. There's some emotional content here that you kind of left me blindsided on, and that's good. She's a phenomenal songwriter. So that was my example of, I won't make you listen to The Night the Lights Went Out in Georgia now, but if I'm going to guest DJ with you, this is, Dar Williams is the spiritual heir to that kind of stuff in the best possible way. So I encourage it. But then, so to wrap up, that's my point. My point is, pop songs, comic book stories, structurally very similar. Also, by the way, I know we're running out of time, but also, pop song, you're dealing with a music. You're a writer, but you're dealing with a musician. You know, comic book story, you're an artist. You're a writer, but you're dealing with an artist. It's a forced collaboration, and you're working with somebody who does something that you don't do or can't do. And what you get out of that is that deep sense of collaboration. So. I don't know. There you go.
No, that was really cool.
I gotta say, it was a really good experience. So, like I said, we'll put it up on the blog and on the forums and stuff when they actually air it on KCRW out here, and I hope you listen to it. So, I think that wraps us up for this time. So, we'll be back next week. But thanks. We have Mark Wade and
Daphne and
Ian Brill.